And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Rory Watt is resigning as Juneau City Manager at the end of September. Watt has been City Manager for 7 years. During that time, Juneau experienced rapid growth in tourism, but also saw significant interruption to that industry by the pandemic. Watt has worked for the city for 30 years total. In a letter to the Juneau Assembly sent on Wednesday, he said it was time for him to, quote, pursue other life interests. He said the city's Human Resources Director and Deputy Manager will help the Assembly hire a new manager. Watt's resignation comes nearly 2 months after the city's finance director, Jeff Rogers, announced he would leave his post. And the Alaska Heritage Institute has offered summer internships for Alaska Native and Native American high school students interested in STEAM careers, that's science, technology, engineering, art, and math. But this year, the first winter internship is bringing one Juneau student who loves to ski out into avalanche terrain. KTOO's Anna Canny reports.
We got the snow on the board, the water on the board, the snow height.
On a sunny day at the top of Mount Roberts, Mike Janes is working through a checklist.
Snow surface error.
He's an avalanche forecaster with Alaska Electric Light and Power. He pulls a new tool out of his backpack. Then he starts to snap the pieces together like a tent pole.
10. Sky's clear.
Then he hands it to Jocelyn and Randa Jackson.
Does this look good?
Yep, that looks good.
She's a senior at Juneau Douglas High School, and she spends her study halls out here as SHI's first avalanche forecasting intern. The probe she's got is used to measure depth. She starts tapping into the snowpack.
The other thing she can tell when she's doing this is you'll feel the different layers. There might be hard crusts, there might be soft layers, there might be wet layers.
Then she hits a stubborn layer.
Give that another tap. I'm wondering, yeah, keep going.
Suddenly, it plunges deeper until the whole thing is buried.
It keeps going.
That's all the way to the top.
SHI runs a bunch of summer science programming, and Aranda Jackson has done a few of their programs before.
It's funny because I did do the STEAM camp as well. And I was talking about how I really wanted to get, I'd rather be skiing. I'd just be like, I'd rather be skiing right now. And they're like, okay, Jocelyn. And then, like, the next camp came, and I was like, I'd rather be skiing right now, guys. And then somebody came over and was like, hey, so you, I heard you like skiing. And I was like, yeah.
Chance to ski on the job piqued her interest. She's been skiing at Eagle Crest since she was a kid, so she was always aware of avalanche danger. But what she didn't know is how much work goes into predicting them. It starts with a lot of data collection. She pulls a shovel out of her backpack and starts shoveling snow into a clear plastic tube on a spring. This measures mass.
When I first got out here, I didn't think it was so, like, covered in all these different types of measurements. I think that was the most surprising to me, that you can measure it in so many different ways. And then there's so many different tools that could help you predict the snow coverage and all that kind of stuff.
But this internship aims to go beyond data. One of the major goals is to help students find a way to pair their Indigenous perspectives with a strong identity as STEM professionals. That's where Ellen Bradley can help. She's a Tlingit climate scientist, and she shares Aranda Jackson's love of hitting the slopes. She's a semi-professional skier. Usually, she tags along in the field. Through the mentorship program, Bradley shares her personal experience as an Alaska Native scientist navigating a Western academic setting.
That's something that I definitely wish that I could have had access to before I went to college. I think it would have really helped me center myself more in my identity and the work that I do within STEM, and really feel like I had more of a sense of place.
In the fall, Aranda Jackson will head to the University of Montana. She plans to study glaciology. After all, it's a field that offers the chance for skiing, even in the summertime. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
An advisory board endorsed librarians' placement of a book on relationships and sexuality within the Ketchikan Public Library's teen section on Wednesday. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
The book titled Let's Talk About It, The Teen's Guide to Sex, Relationships, and Being a Human by Erica Moen and Matthew Nolan faced a challenge from resident Tanya Headland. The library's director, Pat Tully, said it was the first time a book had been challenged in at least a decade. In Headland's initial request, dated February 10th, she asked the library to remove the book from its shelves. She later revised her request to ask librarians to move the book to the adult section from its current home in the teen room. Headland was one of more than two dozen residents who spoke at a public hearing in front of the library's advisory board.
I am not asking for this book to be banned. I agree that we have the right to read whatever we want. And with that being said, it is our job as adults and parents to protect children from content which is inappropriate. After reading the book three times, I see alarming issues like sexting and searching pornography.
The public hearing followed the children's librarian and library director's earlier decisions to deny Hedlund's request to move the book. The library does not restrict access to its books, and children and teens are able to check out books from the adult section. Testimony at the hearing was split roughly evenly between those who wanted to move the book and those who said they preferred it stay where it is. Some people who asked for the book to be moved, including Cindy Taylor, objected to a section of the book that discusses sexting.
I started reading some of this stuff, and when you do talk about the sexting and hiding your face and doing photos of yourself, the thing that I particularly don't like about that is that once you post something on the internet, it stays. It never goes away.
Proponents of the book's presence in the teen section said it was a valuable, comprehensive resource covering all kinds of complex situations, from abusive relationships to safe sex. High school freshman Braden Young was one of two teens that addressed the advisory board.
I think that we need this book. I think that there are so many people in my grade that don't have the information that will make maybe an uninformed decision that will get them in a dangerous or scary situation that could have been avoided by reading a book that informed them in a way that they felt safe with.
She pointed in particular to the section on sexting.
We know that kids do this. I think that if they knew to do this safely and in a way that couldn't be maybe used against them or used in a way that could embarrass them with identifiable parts of themselves in the photos, I think that that could help a lot of kids keep themselves safe and maybe feel more comfortable and make better decisions.
Ketchikan's city attorney Mitch Seaver issued a memo ahead of the meeting. He cited a wide range of court cases indicating that libraries cannot restrict minors' access to materials unless they are obscene. And that's a word with special meaning in the legal system. One key element is that to be obscene, a book must be, quote, utterly without redeeming social importance to minors, end quote. The attorney's memo also cited cases that indicated that simply moving the book to the library's adult section based on officials' view of its content could also violate the First Amendment. Teen Connor Pearson spoke to those points.
You talk about how it's your right to protect our kids from these images, but have you ever thought about our children, our own children's rights? As children and teens, we have the right to read what we want, when we want, the same way you do according to the First Amendment.
Ketchikan City Council member Jack Finnegan, who sits on the Library Advisory Board, commended Young and Pearson for speaking out. He supported keeping the book in the teen section.
The library staff's duty to safeguard the public is limited to running interference against disruptive or dangerous behavior with the help of outside sources like the police department if necessary. It is a library's role to house ideas, not to shield people from ideas they may find objectionable. That is one of the costs that is associated with enjoying our freedom of speech.
The other elected official on the advisory board, Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly member Grant Echohawk, also supported the book.
Even though I disagree with some of the content, when I look at it as a whole, it provides instruction, it provides knowledge.
The board voted 6-1 to recommend the library keep the book in the teen section. The lone dissenting vote came from Deborah Simon, who represents residents outside Ketchikan and Saxman city limits.
I find that this book is inconsistent with the selection criteria as I can assume it to be, and therefore requires adult supervision. I believe that the book should be moved from the teens section to the adult section.
The board's vote to keep the book in the teen section is non-binding. It's advice to the library director and her superior, Ketchikan City Manager Delilah Walsh. Walsh said at the meeting that the decision to keep the book in the teen section could be appealed to the city council. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
And you're about to hear the sounds of Alaska Folk Festival musicians, crew, and audience members singing Goodnight Irene last night, an annual tradition that closes out each year's Alaska Folk Festival.
Come on, everybody, sing with us.
This year's festival was challenged by the cancellation of numerous Alaska Airlines flights after a volcano erupted early last week in Russia's peninsula. Lone Pinon, the folk festival headlining band, was one of the many acts not able to make it as scheduled. And you're listening to KTOO. It's just about 5 o'clock, and it's currently 44 degrees and overcast here in Juneau.